Last week, if you were here, Rebecca played a piece on the piano, a familiar song to many of you called Mary, Did You Know? And I'm also aware that it may not be a familiar song to some of you. It's a song written by Mark Lowry, who is a Houston native, travels and sings with the Gaithers, longtime member of the Gaither vocal band, and has a comedy kind of routine that he does along with his performances. A good friend of ours, Kirk from Tomball, said, yeah, went to school with Mark, sang in the same choir together, and said, he wasn't that good. He was kind of a goofball. But anyway, he wrote this song, and it was actually written for a Christmas program. They asked him to write a Christmas program, and he came up with this, and he thought, you know, I just wonder if I could ask Mary some questions. I wonder how she would answer. And so those questions took shape in the song, and I'm just going to read the lyrics to you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod, and that when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God? Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am? As she was playing that song last week, something just told me, said, there's your sermon title for the next week. So today the sermon title is Mary, Did You Know? And as I began to think about what did she really know, and began to study and contemplate, you know, a lot of times we take these Bible stories and we completely remove them and set them in some other realm, like this couldn't happen today, it doesn't happen today, and it, even if it did, it wouldn't be like that because we're different. But we're not different. We're the same. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Luke chapter 1. I want to read the passage to you, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. I'm going to read these few verses, and then we're going to talk about and try to get a little perspective on what really did Mary know. And then we'll kind of look at how we take that and how we use that today where we are. Beginning of verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, it says, In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what type of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, has anyone had an angel come and tell you that about your child? As I began to think about that, you know, Mary was in a very special situation. Joseph, an angel came and talked to Joseph too, to tell him, Joseph, now here's the deal. This woman you're engaged to, your betrothed wife, whom you not had relations with, is going to give birth to a son. She's already been conceived. And Joseph was like, how can that be? Didn't know it worked that way. Now, the angel told Joseph, right? The angel also told Mary. But Mary was in a unique position. I mean, she was absolutely sure. Joseph, there could be, Mary knew what goes on with her body. She knew, okay, she was maybe the only one on earth that knew for absolute certainty that what God told her through Gabriel was true and accurate. She knew firsthand the power of God. His message to her had been validated by this miraculous sign. Knowing without a doubt that her son was the Messiah. You see, when growing up as a Jewish child, you would have been taught the prophecies. The little video clip was scripture. It was the prophecies of the Old Testament from Isaiah, from Micah, speaking of the Messiah. Now, when God came to Mary through the angel Gabriel and said, you are going to bring that Messiah into the world, did she know? If she knew the prophecies, if she was a good little Jewish girl, then she knew the prophecies and she understood what that meant. And it must have been a heavy burden. You see, because not only did he say, you're highly favored. You know, later she went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, and found out that she was also past childbearing years, and she was barren, and God blessed her with John, who would be John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Went to visit her, and John leapt in Elizabeth's belly and said, whoo! How am I to be so blessed that the mother of my Lord would come? Mary hadn't even broken the news to her yet. She was highly favored and blessed. Elizabeth said, you are blessed art thou among women. She said, you are honored and blessed. Mary, I'm sure she felt that. But listen, she also knew the prophecies. She also knew that the Messiah would suffer. Can you imagine that as a mother? She knew that the Messiah would be pierced for our transgressions, despised and rejected, led like a lamb to the slaughter, cursed and hung on a cross. All prophecies about the Messiah. So can you imagine that? You're going to bring forth the Messiah. All right, wait a minute. I know what happens to him. Do you ever think that maybe Mary, as she was feeding little boy Jesus and watching him play, do you ever think that she felt sorry? Like, oh, I wish maybe this had not happened because I know where it ends. Do you ever think that? What if you could know what Mary knew? My heart this week has been very heavy and filled with sadness with the news that broke out from Connecticut. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, are aware of what happened up there. A very tragic, tragic event. And as I was preparing this sermon, I kept thinking about all these lives that had been cut short, taken before their time. at least in our minds. Surely none of those mothers knew that day when they were sending their child to school, these precious little boys and little girls. Surely none of them knew that this would be their last day. Surely none of them knew that even at conception, when this baby was formed in their belly, that, or even at their birth maybe, that this day was coming. Surely they didn't know that, this day. What would they do differently, do you think, had they known? Would they have done things differently? Would they have done something more in those 6 or 7 years? I don't know. But I'm thinking about that. Mary knew. Not at 6 or 7, but at, she didn't know when, but she knew that at some day the prophecies of her son, the Messiah, would be fulfilled, and that he would be despised and rejected, pierced, cursed, wounded with stripes, hung on a cross. She knew that. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that, y'all. Now, I know that there are some of you that have experienced a great sudden loss of someone who, in our minds, we would think, well before their time. It's tragic, and it is tragic. But Mary knew. I can't imagine the weight of that. Could you imagine Mary, years and years down the road, watching her son on the cross? Seeing what she saw and hearing what she heard, hearing the insults, seeing the beating, the spitting, the cursing, the laughing. Maybe some of these folks were not even actively cursing or insulting. Maybe they were just quietly watching. Maybe they had become indifferent. Maybe they didn't really care. Maybe they thought, well, the poor guy. All right, family, now let's go home, go about our business. I'm glad that's not me. Maybe they weren't cursing. Maybe they weren't throwing things and spitting and just being vile. Maybe they just were like, oh, let's don't watch that. That's nasty. Let's go. Let's leave. Let's just not paying attention to that. Can you imagine what was going through Mary's mind? Don't you understand? She might have felt like screaming. That is my son. Don't you get it? Don't take lightly what he's doing for you. You're playing games. And I wonder, as I think about those thoughts that might have gone through Mary's mind, I wonder if God doesn't think those same things today. Don't you get it? That's my son. Don't take lightly what he's done for you. You're playing games. Maybe we're not actively cursing and spitting and beating and that, but maybe we've become indifferent. Maybe we've come to where we just kind of sit and watch and go, yeah, I'm going to go about my business. And we don't really give it another thought. It hasn't really affected our being, who we are, or why we are. Don't take lightly what the Son has done for you. It began in Bethlehem. But he has not stopped doing something for you. His actions did not cease on the cross. We'll talk more about that at Easter. Sometimes I wonder if maybe what we do in our lives is not the same as what these people did back then. Maybe we curse him, insult him, mock him. Maybe we roll the dice to see if we can get a piece of the clothing. Oh, a little souvenir. That's cool. I could take it and I could hang it on my mirror in my car and I could see a little cross thing and I could put a fish on the back of my car and I could have a piece. And yay! Maybe we hang a scripture in our house. Does anybody have scripture hanging in their house? I do. Good things, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying those are bad things. Those are good things. But when we choose to give our devotion to something else, it's almost like we're saying, yeah, thanks for the offer, but I'm not that interested right now. I'll let you know when I need you. Thanks, but no thanks. Sometimes I feel and I wonder what must go through God's heart when we treat Christ in that fashion. Maybe we're not being mean about it. Maybe we're not being, you know, with a heart of hatred and we're just wanting to curse and whatever. But maybe we just direct our attention elsewhere. Maybe we, especially at Christmas time, you know, you always talk about, let's put Christ back in Christmas. Folks, he never left Christmas. We have just taken a different perspective. Maybe by going through the motions of what we do, maybe when we have the Lord's Supper, or these other things that we do that are supposed to really just, you know, really connect and draw our attention and put our focus back. Maybe we go through that just kind of like through the motions. And I think God is saying, don't you get it? What are you thinking? This Christmas, don't let this be like any other Christmas. I heard Dr. Young say last night something very similar to that. He said this quite possibly will be a Christmas that you remember very differently from any other Christmas. And if you've thought and been the events of this week have been heavy on your mind, that may be absolutely, certainly true. Sorry about that. It's possible that as hard to get real serious about that, isn't it? It's quite possible that as you go through this season that you could fall into that category of being indifferent. That we can just look at it as being Christmas. Yay, we got the pretty lights and we've got the decorations and the poinsettias and I'm going to take one home next week because that's the deadline. Take poinsettias home next week if you've got one. Got my tree up, got the presents, I've got to still do some more shopping. You know, it's easy to get wrapped up in all of that stuff, isn't it? And it's easy for us to forget that the birth of the Christ, not the beginning of Christ, remember we talked about that. Christ has no beginning. He always has been. He is, and guess what? He always will be. But his incarnation in human flesh, we celebrate it because it was because of Christmas that we have a hope of tomorrow. Had it not been for Christmas, we wouldn't have Easter. There would be no forgiveness of sins for you and I. But Jesus made the way. And his love is extravagant. It's so extravagant, God said, there's absolutely nothing that I won't do for you, whatever it takes. And his very word said it takes a blood sacrifice. And he knew, because of your shape and because of my shape, that it had to be an absolutely pure sacrifice. He said, there's nothing pure except me. And he gave himself on the cross. Jesus Christ did for you. It began in Bethlehem. It continued through the cross. aren't you glad it didn't end there? My question to you is, have you allowed Christ to begin that work in your life? Just as the baby was born on Christmas Day, have you allowed that seed to take hold in your heart and that relationship to be birthed in your heart and to blossom and grow? Or have you become indifferent? Have you wondered? Have you wondered about maybe what Mary thought? Did she really know? Did she get it? I think she did. And I think that was a heavy burden that maybe nobody else on this earth has had to bear like Mary did. I asked you earlier, do I think she ever felt sorry about it? I don't think so. I think maybe she wished it could have happened another way. Christ himself prayed for that. But she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had done something miraculous. And I think she had faith in that same God that she knew could do that to her. She knew could take care of her son. And guess what? He did. That same powerful, mighty God is still alive and working in this place today. Will you let him work on you? That's my prayer for us as a people. Don't let this Christmas be like any other Christmas. Don't take lightly the person and work of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure where you are today in your walk with him. I'm not sure if everyone even has begun a walk with him. If you haven't, oh my friend, don't waste another day. Surely you can understand that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us know. Don't get stuck with regret in your life, especially about the only decision that matters for all of eternity. Maybe you need to come back and you need to say, you know what? You know, we've been talking about revival the last several weeks, and Brother Mike, I'm at the point where I need to be revived. I need to turn back to God and allow him to revive me. You know, you can't revive yourself. When you're dead and laying on the stretcher and they take the little paddles and they do this and they say, clear. You don't see people doing that to themselves. God revives us, but we have to put ourselves in the proper position. Maybe you're here today thinking, you know what, Mike, Brother Mike, that has sunk in, and I'm ready today to put myself in the proper position for God to do a miraculous work within me. Here I am. This is going to be the best Christmas ever. Maybe that's you today. We're going to stand. We're going to sing just a couple verses of a hymn, and then we'll go and we'll be on our way. But the challenge is, don't let this be like any other Christmas. Don't let this be like any other Sunday. Don't let this be like any other day, period. Allow God to work in and through you today.